now. We gotta get this. Oh, T-Rail. Did T-Rail leave?
No. I think he's leaving today. He said if we want to call him in, we can call him in.
That'd actually be kind of funny.
Do we know how to work that technology?
I mean, no. I would just call him and hold it up to the microphone.
Say, terrible quality. Let him say hi.
Let him say what's up.
Is my mic on? You guys let me have a mic today?
Is everyone mics on? Sweet. That's not when Omar didn't turn my mic on for that podcast.
That was like my first day at the job.
No, that was not your first day at the job.
Nobody would notice first
comment. Yeah, literally, first comment was whoops. My microphone was off. Way to go, Omar.
Whoopsie.
And that was not your first day in the job.
That's why I'm not allowed behind there anymore.
I don't know if you're allowed in front of the camera too.
Somehow he failed upwards where he yeah. messed up podcast producing to now being landed on it actually in the podcast.
So if Evan gets bored sitting back there, he yeah. can just
you
mess
can fail upwards
up.
Too, Evan. You can, you know, yeah.
Is that a Gohan, is that a Gohan thing? You fail and
the,
you go upwards?
The young Omar path. I mean, apparently Omar does.
Yeah. I gotta clear something.
What?
Last time I said the endocrine system and it completely someone commented.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You responded. I just commented. I loved it.
It was hilarious.
That's what I said. All of us are too dumb to realize it, but that's why we love the people who listen because they are smart enough and you.
It's I'm not a doctor. I did wrong. Say that.
But you said it multiple times and you were like very,
very confident in it.
Yeah. Like very confident.
I
very
did
adamant.
Sound like a Harvard PhD, like undergrad.
Yeah, we
but
thought
you
were
wrong.
Smart.
But I was completely
wrong.
The nervous system is just the nervous system, it turns out. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was awesome when he called you out on
that's
that.
Why, that's why I do like YouTube.
Yeah.
For podcasts, even though like me personally, like I listen to a few maybe on YouTube if I notice I can be a product showing up, mm-hmm. but like you can't comment on Spotify, you can't comment on Apple Podcasts unless you leave a review, but like you can see real-time feedback on YouTube.
On YouTube,
so yeah. people do have comments. And they're listening on Spotify or Apple or whatever else, just jump over to YouTube and drop a little comment when things happen.
Yeah, and that comment was great. The best part about it too, in my mind, is like you thought you had to tell Trail what you meant and you were wrong about what you meant.
Dude, I felt so dumb after reading that comment. I was like, oh man.
It was awesome.
I did want to be a pediatrician, by the way. So
good thing you didn't.
Good thing I'm not doing that.
Hmm. Should we talk about what's new in the shop real quick and new at Gohan? Start off a little bit.
Sure. That's a great idea.
I think we should jump into that. I mean, it's hunting season. We do have some new gear in the shop that just like, it seems like though every time I either walk out and talk to Paul in the showroom or I jump on the website, we have new things added. That's why I like that recently added tab on the shop is actually really key.
We got stuff flowing.
Yeah. New Gohan products, other new brands we brought mm-hmm. in. New brand we brought, you know, Dark Energy on. So we have the power banks, now those lightweight solar panel. Gohunt midweight merino wool socks are now available too.
Which are awesome.
Yeah. So I actually prototyped those, I don't know what it was, maybe full year ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
We've been working on them for a while.
I did a bunch of hikes over here around Vegas and mm-hmm. been loving them. Good for early season stuff. Maybe that like late September-ish, early October.
Right now.
Yeah they're I'm pretty perfect time.
Are you taking them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I didn't get to prototype them because I'm not as cool as Brady and you guys, but.
You don't go as hard as Brady. Oh, that's true. Why Brady was the prototyper. Actually, I think we all prototyped him except for you.
Yeah, it might have been
strategic?
Probably.
Yeah. If I mean, guess, yeah. honestly, if it wasn't like being around you guys, I'd probably be in some cotton socks.
No, but we've worked on those for a while. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're sick.
Yeah, I think at first I didn't have merino at first. Our first run was it just so we can test the fit and the cushion and all that. And then we switched over to merino and tested some cushion again. And I really like them a lot.
Me too.
Dyneema Tarp. Our Gohunt one.
Which everyone I think has taken. I mean, everyone, by the way, is leaving tomorrow. Me, Lorenzo, you,
the whole
Brady.
Office.
Trail.
Lane.
Yeah. Trail.
Brandon.
Porter's out.
Yeah. Scott Christensen is holding down the fort.
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot of jobs while we're all out.
Yeah. And then one more thing I want to touch on too, which it seems like it's crazy early to be thinking about this, but 2025 app season is coming up fast.
Oh, it's not. It's not early to me.
No.
It doesn't feel early to me. No. This is typically when I start thinking about next year.
Yeah. And it's like, we've already had a lot of hunts, you know, there's a lot of seasons that have already opened, deer, mm-hmm. elk, and antelope. And
a lot of information that's been rolling in.
About, yeah. So people are starting to, you know, maybe you had a hunt already. Maybe that was your only hunt of the year and you're done already. If you're already through your hunt, or maybe you've already gone on a September elk hunt and you were successful, not successful. Well, now's the time to get back and start planning and preparing and utilizing Insider. So use that promo code. Like we always say, promo code podcast. We'll save you, some little coin there. You get 50 points back to the Go Hunt Gear Shop.
Buy some shit.
Buy some shit. And then, like, some of the apps are coming up here in December. You know, you got Idaho, Arizona, all their OTC stuff's coming for sale. So now's the time to jump on filtering, start researching those opportunities. Or maybe look around the internet, jump on filtering as well, and look at those comments of some of the areas you're trying to think about applying in or picking up an Idaho tag or an Arizona tag, and do research now.
Yeah, this is typically when I start thinking about it, because, you know, the network of information starts flowing in and you're like, oh, that, okay, that unit's doing good. And let me go check my points. Let me go research this.
Yeah. Cause we all know how busy we are.
Yeah.
And like, even for hunts, like right now we're all kind of scrambling, even though we've had our gear list done. We did gear list videos earlier, and it's like, do your research now. You have it in the phone on the Go Hunt mobile app. You can research 24/7, 365. So highly suggest jumping
in there. My wife loves it. It's awesome for us.
Yeah.
She really appreciates that I can just sit on my phone and research now.
Like, and a lot of times, too, if you're sitting on your phone, someone will be like, hey, why are
you? I was kidding.
Someone will be like, hey, why are you on your phone right now? What are you doing? Are you like, you texting someone? You do like watching a video? No, I'm on Go Hunt app. I'm researching. And then be like, oh, okay, that's acceptable.
Literally happened last night.
No.
I'm like, no, I'm just checking to see if I could draw this tag. I'm just talking to a friend.
Yeah. I love like driving by like an area, like all hunting season so far. Like, oh, there's a shitload of elk over there.
Yeah.
When you kind of draw that, kind of stuff too.
I do that a lot. Like, I'll be driving and I'll drop a waypoint. Obviously I'm on like a highway or an interstate. Whoops. And then instantly when I label that waypoint, I'm like, look left or look west or look east or look north or south of the road.
Yeah,
so I remember what portion I'm trying to reference of that. And then I'll do the same thing as you do. Like, then I'll pull it up like, okay, what unit is this?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the research section, figure out what I can draw.
Yeah.
How many points it might take. Because like, sometimes it looks sick. Or like you said, you might just drive by a herd of elk.
Yeah.
This time of year it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like for my mule deer hunt, there's all those elk in the flat country, the bottoms there.
And even if you're driving by and they're in private, you're like, that mountain behind there, you know, could be public. Exactly. And that's what you could look at, and maybe they're transitioning and stuff like that. So while you're driving,
By the way, I pull over all the time I do this. So
oh, that's a good point.
Good disclaimer.
Pull over, stop, shut the truck off. Yeah.
Put your hazards on.
And then take out your phone. Okay, got it.
Make sure to take out your SIGs.
And then take out your glass.
Glass them up real quick.
Exactly.
So you don't even have to stop with SIGs. Yeah. You literally can just glass while you're doing 75 down the highway.
Yeah. Shout out SIGs, the sponsor of this podcast. that's a good use case.
I told the story yesterday. We had the Arrowhead rifle guys in here, and they were asking about the SIGs. And I literally told them, I said, this is a one-off situation. I'm not going to say this is a typical thing with the SIG Zulus, but we were driving, my brother, we were on a county highway in Utah, and he had an antelope tag. And I literally found his buck while he was driving 65 miles an hour down a county highway. Yeah. I was glassing these fields that I could see out in the distance. I'm like, shit, that buck's got a lot of black on his head. And that's the buck we went and killed.
Really?
I literally found it through the SIGs doing 65 on a highway. It's pretty wild. I'm not going to say that's like a normal thing, but worked for antelope.
Yeah. And one more thing, new Elevation T colors. So
yes.
I'm wearing it right here.
Was it called mustard color? Debating, is that mustard or rugged hazel?
I think it's got to be mustard.
It looks like a mustard.
I like the shirt a lot. I like the logo on the back too. Small logo on the front. And I feel like when you get these lighter colors, for whatever reason,
lighter material,
it's soft.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Just less material. Yeah.
Super soft.
I've noticed that too. That's not yellow enough for me to call it mustard though.
Really?
Can't do it. Yeah.
That's like a deli mustard.
I don't know. It's like a spicy mustard.
No. That's like, what's that mustard that has like little peppers in there?
Spicy.
No, it's not spicy. Dijon? That's like
there
a Dijon mustard.
Nice job, Evan. Dijon. That's what that is.
I was waiting for Omar to say like something totally random again where you could like correct
me. Nope. Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like so dead set on it.
And we also have the olive colorway in that too.
Oh, yeah.
That I have at my desk.
And you're not wearing.
I'm gonna keep it fresh for tomorrow for the drive.
Oh, makes sense.
You know, in case like someone at the gas station is like, "That's a nice olive T-shirt."
Yeah. Hey, I know where you can buy it.
Yeah. we're on the eve of road trips.
Yep.
We're all heading out. You guys excited? Nervous? Like, how? What's the vibe and feels like?
I don't know where Lorenzo's at. I think Lorenzo's a little nervous and excited.
I wish Trail was here because he's my my partner in, you know, family life. You guys don't have an experience that yet, but I am. Yeah, I'm beyond stressed. I have so much to do, and it's like, you know, the dad guilt thing of. Obviously, I want to be spending as much time as humanly possible with my kids and wife before I leave for as long as I'm about to leave. But the reality is, like, it's just I can't do that because I have a lot of stuff to get ready, especially when we're going back for that many days, yeah. You know? So I'm beyond stressed. I have not even started packing food.
Really?
And we leave at 4 a.m. tomorrow. So
really? Is this the thing that why I kind of wanted to talk about it too? Because even though... You know, obviously we work at Go Hunt. We did our gear list stuff, like I talked about. So every gear piece should be in a box, already dialed. You know, I have a spreadsheet. I ran through it like last couple of days. But like, I am still overly stressed as well. Because our hunts are not like hunts where we can just come out of the mountains easily and grab extra pieces of gear we forget. So like that's why I always like, you know, I always do those little Google Sheet or Excel spreadsheets, mainly because I want to help myself pack because I can run through and make a little check mark. I still got to publish that article, by the way. I haven't done that yet. So maybe I'll do that this week before I leave. So people can utilize it. But like, because if I forget something and I forget it at home, let's just say I don't even, you know, it's not even in my truck. I'm hosed.
Yeah.
Hosed.
I mean, like, even if it's an essential piece of gear.
Even if it was in your truck though, you're still kind of hosed.
Still kind of hosed because it's a lot of effort to come out.
Great. You're not as hosed if, you know, obviously if it was back in Vegas, but like if where you're going, where we're going, it's not one of those things like, oh, let's just run back to the truck for a day, get some stuff and go back in.
Yeah.
It's
throw it all in and grab it from the hotel the next day or a truck base camp.
It's not one of those things.
So like I am super stressed to make sure I have everything. And so I'm like, had my computer open last night and then I had my backpack over here. I had my totes with all my gear, grabbed a piece of gear, put it in my backpack, went to my computer, checkbox, put in, grabbed the other piece. And like now it's all pretty much there. All I have left is my food to put in, which is in the freezer. And then
we talked about that yesterday. That was a great idea.
Yeah, we talk about that.
Let's jump into that now. Well, first of all, shout out Omar. Found my gear list last year. I could not find it. And I was stressing, freaking out yesterday. And he was at the office and I was at home. I'm like, please, if you can find it, just send it to me.
Yeah.
Thank God he found it. So now I'm doing that, you know, going through check marking and doing all that stuff. So thank you for that, Omar, even though you messed up a lot of other stuff.
Appreciate the recognition.
But yeah, the food thing. So, you know, I'm stressed about that now because like we're going back there for 15 days, which is definitely on the extended side of like how long you're going in the backcountry. Well, I don't want to pack food like last weekend. I don't want to spend last weekend packing food during the middle of the day and, you know, if I was trying to maximize family time and doing that. But the issue with that is then the food's going to be bad because I bring in a lot of like fresher food that's not going
to
last.
Yeah,
like
you're trying to be a little more healthy size.
Yeah, I'm not eating like bagged foods. You know what I mean? Like all that shit food.
Which, by the way, for anyone that doesn't know, like that shit destroys your stomach.
Right? Yeah, it crushes my stomach. That's why I don't eat it. Yeah. It's like I don't do freeze dried. I don't do any. It crushes my stomach and it takes away from hunting. And, you know, I've learned that about myself. You know, the Instagram meme is... my toxic trait is to see if the same food that always upsets my stomach is going to upset my stomach today.
Yeah.
You guys seen that? That's how I used to be.
Okay.
It's like, I know this upsets my stomach, but let's just see if it's going to again this time.
Yeah.
And of course, inevitably it always would. So anyways, I take a lot of like fresher style foods. So to pack it way in advance stresses me out that it's going to go bad by the 15th day, right? Because now you're tacking on,
a week and a half, and then that 15 days of hunting.
Exactly. So, you know, so I'm stressed about that. So Omar and I are talking and then you come along and you're like, oh yeah, I do it and put it in the freezer. I'm extremely dumb. Like that's a phenomenal idea. I could have done it last weekend.
Yeah.
And where were you on that one a week ago?
I know. You should have saw my Instagram stories a little quicker. And then I should have actually continued the stories. I didn't actually throw them in the freezer. Yeah. So
I'm the one not paying attention and he's not putting the right info out there.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Cause I've always done it in years past too, where the food thing is something that's very stressful and you always want to do it the last couple of days, but then that's also the last thing I want to be doing the last couple of days.
Couple of days.
Because I want to be shooting my weapon. Correct. I want to be gear, put a gear together.
Family time, shooting the weapon, all the those kinds of things.
Yeah, trying to get all this like random work stuff taken care of ahead of time, making sure, like we always talk about, like when you go into the backcountry, you like have a clear mindset, do all your honeydews, do all your work things, so that when you're back there, you're not stressing like, oh, did I do this at work? Are they going to be, you know, high and dry without something I need? Like, and last thing you want to do is food the night before, because then you also might forget something.
Right.
Correct.
So that's why this last time I'd be like, I'm going to switch it over and do it earlier and get all my stuff taken and care of it. And then freeze it.
It's a great idea. It's honestly such a good idea. When you told me that yesterday, I realized how absolutely dumb I am. Like that, because it's such like a
simple, it's something you probably don't think about.
It's such a simple, great idea that solves so many issues. Mm-hmm. And I felt incredibly dumb yesterday that I'm like, how have I, where was that in my mind?
I
like,
how's
that not an issue?
More dumb because my mom, like, that's all she, like, go to Costco and she just freeze the bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like freeze the milk. Like, she's like one of those. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I freeze, pick that up for my mom.
I freeze bread every day. Like, I pulled bread out of the freezer, pulled the bagels out of the freezer.
I feel so dumb right now.
Yeah. And then also it helps my side of it too, because I re-vacuum seal everything. Mm-hmm. So like obviously the freeze dried meals don't matter. I'm not going to throw those in the freezer, but those are taken out, vacuum sealed. So they're smaller containers. And then I have the big bag. That's going to be a bigger vacuum sealed bag. And then all those other little items. So I remove all the wrappers. You know, people gave me shit for it.
I know whatever. You do that.
So I take all the wrappers, like a pro bar, take the wrapper off the, you know, range bar, take the wrapper off the, even I take the like honey stinger style thing and take the wrapper off. But I found out too, the honey stinger ones will break up a little bit more in your pack. But if you get the, it's like Rip Van or something like that.
Oh, Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah, yeah. That brand.
Yeah.
They actually have a little more honey in there, and there's not a lot of actual added sugar, so that honey actually makes that waffle stay together more. Mm. So I can take that wrapper out, because like I'm not...
You're over my head here with the wrapper
thing. Yeah, because it's like...
This is over the top.
It's not a whole lot of weight savings. I think what I might post is like 3.1 ounces I save per day by removing wrappers. That's but 3.1 up. Times 10, you know, is 31 ounces. It's probably closer to 32, which is 2 pounds. So I mean, in 10 days, I save 2 pounds, but mainly I'm trying to do is save bulk. And then every single day when I'm back there too, I have all that trash. So for you guys, when you're elk hunting, when you're mobile and carrying your camp on your back every single day, you're still carrying that trash. Why carry that trash when you don't need to? Because if you didn't bring it out there to begin with, you wouldn't be carrying it around.
It's valid for sure. Like it is valid. It's the thought of the amount of time it takes me to pack my food bags and weigh everything out and get it all situated. The thought of opening all of the different things and vacuum sealing all of them, like I'm just not doing it.
Yeah, it probably took 3 hours total to do all 10. And that was also like, I was hanging out with my girlfriend, we're watching TV a little bit. I would go back to the kitchen, work on it. But I think the biggest thing about the vacuum sealing, which maybe you could just do like one big vacuum seal bag with everything, and then I vacuum sealed my bagel as well. So that has the salami, the cheese.
The fresh stuff.
So like that sucker is like now maybe 3/8 of an inch, 1/2 inch thick.
Compressed it.
Yeah. It looks horrible. People are like, oh, it looks nasty.
It always tastes better though. It always does taste better.
It always still works well. And it's like at the end of the day, it's just calories.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it because I love to. Food is fuel, not fun. It doesn't matter how it looks as long as there's still calories in it.
I'm
going to the backcountry.
I've gotten more on board with that in the backcountry. It's not fun to eat back there. A lot of the times you're like literally forcing yourself to eat. It's not fun.
And so like that's going to add to that bagel lasting a little bit longer. Plus it's frozen. And if you are concerned as well, like you could toast your bread. If you're bringing some sort of bread, like toast those bagels and then do that. Or, you know, we get a lot of questions too. Like, does that salami and cheese last for 9 days? It's like, if you think about it.
Frozen and vacuum sealed,
Yeah, because like by the time I get up there, you know, most of those meals I'm going to put in my cooler before I pull a long drive. And when I get there, they're still going to be slightly cool. And then even during the day, if it's like 65, 70 degrees.
But in the shade.
But all that food is going to be back at camp once I make a base camp, for me at least, because I'm base camping. And then hiking out from there and maybe moving my camp afterwards. But like that's going to be in the shade. It's going to be cool. And then at night, it's going to drop down, you know, in the 30s.
Yeah.
And so like that food will last easily 9 days.
Yeah, 100%.
Especially cheese, like baby bell cheese. Like, it's never going to be nasty. Sure, your sandwich is going to be smushed on day 10.
There's nothing better than the smushed sandwich at the bottom of your pack, though.
Yeah, because it absorbs all those extra flavors.
On day hunts, I love putting my food bag on a day hunt in the bottom of my pack. peanut butter and jelly gets all smashed up and the bread soaks up all the, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. That's the best way to eat a sandwich.
I think I kind of want to bring back the, you know, Cam Haynes when he wrote his Backcountry Bow Hunting book, like the peanut butter, bacon and honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I kind of want to bring those back again. I kind of miss cooking all that bacon up and then like having that honey and peanut butter. And then that, like I said, the sandwich, whatever it is, bread or bagel, will eventually soak up all that stuff. And it's like, oh, it's so good.
Bacon.
On day eight, it's like, it tastes better than on day one.
Yeah. I do a makeshift version of that. So I do a tortilla because it lasts longer than bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do Wicked Cuts bacon jerky.
Oh, bacon jerky.
So it lasts longer than bacon. I don't need a vacuum seal it or anything crazy. So it's bacon jerky. Best flavor is jalapeno. It's incredible. And then I do peanut butter and like a Justin's peanut butter packet and a little honey packet on top of that. Mm-hmm. So it's like a makeshift peanut butter, bacon, honey sandwich. It's really good. That's my favorite meal of the day by far.
Yeah. That sounds really good. That's your lunch.
That's lunch. Yeah. That's like the main form of lunch, that. And then a Bobo's coconut bar.
The old Bobo's. Chips.
No chips.
You're not doing the Fritos?
No, I'm doing, like these chicken protein chips.
Okay.
I added some new things to my Fritos this year.
What'd you add?
I added some like dried up beef liver.
Ooh.
So now in the Frito bag, I have little beef liver
beef liver stuff.
Yeah. A little jerky, but it's like super, super thin. Yeah.
Let me see what this, these chicken chips are called. They're incredible. They're literally made out of dried chicken.
I put, jerky into my Frito bags. I was weighing out the jerky yesterday. It was like 28 grams, you know, for one serving. And I'm like, all right, sweet. I'll put in like another bag. 28 grams is like,
it's so tiny. Yeah.
A couple of pieces. So I was like, you're going with the Fritos.
Yeah. That's why when you go and like buy those bags of jerky, like one whole bag is 28 grams.
Yeah.
So it's like, it feels crazy. Like, oh, I need 9 of those.
I know.
And so, every year I think about this too. Like, wow, I do make jerky throughout the year, but I need to make more jerky for my wild game. So I actually can bring it on a hunt. I need to start doing that, or road trips.
The problem with jerky and wild game for me is you lose so much volume doing that. That it always, you know what I mean? Like the amount of meat it takes to make jerky,
by the time
you get the jerky, the amount of volume you lose just because it's dehydrated and all that, you know what I mean? So it's always hard for me to do jerky instead of just ground or steaks. Yeah, so these chips are Wild, W-I-L-D-E. Always got to spell it fancy when you're a fancy fucking product, it seems like these days. Wild protein chips. So it's chicken breast, egg whites, and chicken bone broth. Is what these chips
chicken breast, egg whites, and
egg
bone
whites and chicken bone broth.
Gains.
That sounds really good, actually.
So I instead of doing carnivore snacks, that's what I did a lot of last year. They got pretty, they were hard to eat by the end of it because they just don't have a lot of taste.
Yeah,
and it's like I was having an issue.
Those
like,
chicken ones you had?
Yeah, it was because it's just salted. Like little strips of meat basically.
Yeah.
So it was getting hard to eat. So I changed that from last year. I changed that into these wild protein chips and they're good. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not a tortilla chip by any means, but it's damn good. Mm-hmm. Like they're not going to be hard to eat.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing the Fritos. Chili cheese.
The Fritos, although like as far as, you know, the mass produced, you know, chips and stuff like that goes. That's on the better side because there's only three ingredients.
What is corn?
It's corn, corn oil, and salt.
Okay, yeah.
It's really, I mean,
that's why I do it.
As far as it's not a Dorito with 300 ingredients in one, one little packet. You know what I mean?
Some guy tried to tell me the other day, hear me out, hot Cheetos. And I was like, well, one, the amount of shit they put into hot Cheetos. And then two, like, you don't get the amount of calories you get. I don't think so, at least.
Number one, the amount of shit.
Yeah, number one's a no.
That's just a no. Stomach-wise, no chance.
I just can't get on board with Cheetos because, like, it reminds me of just taking packaging peanuts and like, throwing it in, like, some thing of oil and then adding a bunch of seasoning on it and it condenses them down.
It's not
like
real food.
You're just eating fake. You're literally eating fake food.
Yeah.
Like, a chip to me, it's still kind of fake food because it's highly processed, but at least the Fritos.
The Fritos are, like, the least. I mean, look, it's the lesser of evils when you're. If you're not doing, you know, carnivore snacks or like these chicken chips, it is the least evil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I had to change that out from last year. I don't know. I can't get myself to eat Fritos in the backcountry.
And if you are interested though in Lorenzo's food thing, we have the article on Go Hunt. It's called Lorenzo's Backcountry Hunting Macro Food Breakdown. Mm-hmm. It's a really good article, broke down with some tables and some and different bits of
and
information.
And I changed it a little bit this year, which will I can update it.
Yeah. But if you want some ideas how he breaks down his protein, carbs, and fats, he goes in a lot of details on why his methodology is that, because he used to feel like shit in the backcountry and now he kind of doesn't.
Well, when I was like that meme, you know, my toxic trait was seeing if it would hurt my stomach again, and it always would. So then finally I just bit the bullet and like really went out looking for foods that wouldn't mess me up. But it's interesting. So last year we went into the backcountry last year. I was 245 pounds.
Damn, really?
And this year I'm 218. And I do a certain amount of protein per pound of body weight.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of crazy how much weight like I dropped from I had a ton of muscle last year. I was lifting like crazy. Mm-hmm. This year the most I've lifted in a week is 3 times a week. Yep. Last year I was lifting 6 days a week. So anyways, it's crazy. I went from 245 to 218, but the amount of protein calories now that I don't have to bring, it's actually saving me quite a bit of weight.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
That's a good point.
I didn't really notice it until I was doing the math last night.
We were kind of talking something similar the other week about like body types and how like my body type is like in a way like made for mountains, because like I don't need a lot of, like you're saying, like you at 245, you need to carry more food weight. Me I weighed 181 this morning.
Which is so insane. That's 6'5".
No.
It's and so I'll, insane.
Yeah. So like I don't need as much to still perform.
No.
But I'm still at top of my shape because of how just my body type and, you know, way I run and hike all the time. Yeah. Like, so it works for me, but like two different body types are completely different on their needs of protein, fats, and carbs as
what mine might be. If I didn't lift and you lifted, I don't, and this isn't like a knock by any means, just to talk on different body types. Like I would probably still carry more like build to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just the body types are wildly different. Like last year, I was in incredibly good shape last year, like phenomenal shape last year. I felt amazing. It was just, I was lifting so much. I had like bulk on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't mind the way I felt. I felt great.
Yeah.
In Mexico last year. I felt awesome.
Yeah. I always think no matter what your body type is, as long as you're, you know, in shape,
feel good
body type, you'll still feel good, but just you need more food. And what happens when you need more food? Well, more it's going to be more weight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I worked pretty hard on just getting smaller this year. I always tinker, like I've told you, I always tinker. Like I'll go into lifting 6 days a week, and then this year I only lifted 3. Maybe next year I won't lift at all. Who knows? Like I love messing with it to see how I feel.
Maybe next year you'll be an ultra runner.
Maybe next year I'll only do ultras and won't lift at all.
That'd be
and
pretty cool.
We'll see what happens.
I mean, he did do his first race this year.
The furthest I've ever ran.
Furthest he's ever ran.
Dude. And I only did it for you guys.
I was proud of you.
So I was the only one.
And
not
he was running
the truck.
When you're in California.
I did run when I was in California. There's nothing else to do.
I know.
So that's kind of that doesn't count. There's nothing else to do. But yeah, it's incredible. Like how doing the math based on my body weight this year, it's kind of nice. Like how much food I don't need to bring.
Yeah. But the consensus still is though, between the three of us, I think is even though we feel like we're dialed, we're still stressed to leave. Can you ever be like,
no,
totally 100% prepared, stress-free? I don't think you can.
Well, I'm still always stressed until you get back there, because like I did make these changes from last year. So am I going to feel better? Like I'm stressed about that too. You know, like what if I felt better at 245 than I do at 218? Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. Like so I'm stressed
about that.
I could probably have my backpack packed a week ahead of time, you know, my extra duffel bag, the cooler sitting out, all dialed the week before. And I'd probably still be stressed thinking about like, do I have everything? Even though my checklist is dialed. Like, how is this going to work? Like, just never feel like I'm ready to leave. I want hunting season to be here, and then it's here, and it's like, I wish I had a few more days.
Yeah. That's what I do like about that early season hunt that I had, though, because I feel like I'm kind of a little
you get
tapered
dialed
out
a
and
yeah.
dialed in. Like, everything I need to dial in is just gear, which is pretty dialed. All I got to do, the thing that takes me the longest time is putting all the crap together and packing the food.
Yeah.
Plus getting the luxury packing our cameraman's food.
You're telling me that this morning.
So it always takes time. Getting his gear that he needs.
We all used to do it.
I know.
Hard work. We all used to do it.
Arc or whatever.
Passing to the torch.
Yeah, passing to the torch.
Yeah, arc.
No, there is that. We had that in college. Passing through the pillars.
Like don't mess up another saying.
Okay.
It's passing the torch.
Passing the torch.
did he have any like random requests, the camera guy? Or just say, hey, whatever you pack, fine with me.
I mean, he needed pants. He needed a puffy jacket.
Food-wise, did he have anything crazy?
Yeah.
No, food-wise, he was game for whatever.
Yeah. Not like Cam. Cam was so funny.
I just sent him like a screenshot. I was like, this is like more or less with the what your food's gonna look like if you're cool with it. He's like, I'm game. Uh-huh. It's like, no allergies. Like, I'm not gonna kill you with my Justin's peanut butter. He's like, no, you'll be fine.
Yeah, because I was telling you earlier, sometimes like I packed, I think Luke's stuff before once, and I think I packed Mather's,
mm-hmm.
and then instantly afterwards they were like, yeah, you're never packing my food again. Because like I didn't give him any snacks, I didn't give him any Skittles. There was no Snickers bars in there.
You got
like,
fired.
Yeah, I got fired from being a food packer for Cameron.
And then I took over Mather's.
Yeah.
Because when we did that Colorado hunt with Mather, he's like, "No, I want your food."
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, yeah. Shit, I guess I'm packing for you now.
Is he just the bully on the block?
I mean, he's an eater. Mather was an eater, but Cam was funny. I mean, for those of you that do know, sorry to keep recapping this, but Cam is from New Zealand and he was our filmer last year, and we were on a text thread together and Omar was packing his food for him and he's like, hey, do you have any food preferences? And Cam was like, yeah, just throw in a bunch of lollies. And Omar was like, what the fuck is a lolly?
What's a lolly?
Like, does he literally want like suckers? Like lollipops? Like, what are you talking about? Well, come to find out, it's gummies. He wanted like gummy bears. Lollies to him is candy.
Yeah, candy. Yeah.
He wanted like Skittles and gummy bears and shit like that.
Sour Patch Kids, yeah.
Lollies. So then he had to go buy a bunch of candy last year.
I bought them. And he didn't even, like, he ended up just dumping them out because he's like, dude, my body feels like shit when I eat these.
Of course.
Go figure. Especially in the backcountry. Let's make it feel even worse.
In the backcountry, it's really going to go over well.
What's funny, though, is just while we're on the subject of Cam, that little video he sent roasting me the other day.
Oh, dude.
So in our group chat between the three of us on text
so
message. Because I just posted that photo of my like toothbrush and toothpaste. That's
just crazy.
Also, I think I made it in the world when an Instagram hater meme page
does a video
saying like, hey, I'm Brady Miller, and this is how I would cut the toothbrush. And he was basically cutting the bristles off the toothbrush to make it even lighter.
That's awesome. See that.
So I was like, I made it because now I'm getting, you know,
if you
at.
Make it on those, you've definitely made it. I mean, who is that though? I need to see that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'll show you it.
And we should edit in, Evan, sorry to make your job harder, the video of the video that Cam sent us to Brady.
It's, yeah, we really need to put it in there.
It's hilarious.
So the video was, he's like, Cam was like talking about Brady, like, yeah, your toothbrush is super lightweight, but this is the toothbrush I bring, a full size toothbrush.
It's like, it's because, a full toothbrush.
Because I'm still lighter than you. And here's a tech tip. You can use it next time. And then he scans down to his legs and he always hikes in shorts.
Like booty shorts,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So Steve Irwin.
Like the New Zealand special, he's got straight booty shorts in the backcountry.
So while I'm out here, I thought I'd give Brady a few tips on how to save weight. So, look, that's a full toothbrush. And I'm just carrying that around during the day. And the reason I'm able to do this, by not wearing pants. You see, Brady, too much fabric from here to your ankles. So if you cut all that fabric away, you can carry a full toothbrush around.
So lesson learned is you can pack a full toothbrush if you just hunt in shorts the whole entire time because you're saving all those length of material.
Specifically booty shorts.
Booty shorts.
Booty shorts and gators.
That's the New Zealand thing. It's fucking crazy.
I just laughed. I was like, yep, I deserve that. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Pretty good tip.
He's in the desert of Wyoming right now and he's in shorts.
Booty shorts.
Yeah. So that's a good point.
Technically, he's probably lighter, honestly.
Yeah.
Because what do you say from a normal toothbrush to what you have? Like maybe 3-4 ounces?
No, it's probably only like an ounce and a half. It's actually not much at all.
You just
like
make it sound way worse.
Yeah, no, I deserve the
he's probably saving like a half a pound, maybe.
He's saving a lot of weight.
That much material.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, we could keep talking about backcountry hacks. We could go even deeper with like your underwear choice. You could probably save some weight there, but it's going to get in the weeds.
Just go commando?
Too detailed. Yeah, go commando.
Hell no.
Just start thinking the most ridiculous ways to save weight. And like, I like the comments too. People are like, Brady, some UFC person or whatever, cut their hair and lost like 3 pounds or something like that.
The girls do it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yes, I'm actually going to get a haircut today. After this podcast, I'm going to go get a haircut before
I'm
getting
a haircut
for that reason.
Too.
No, not for the reason of that. But I commented back and it's like, well, if I cut my hair, I'm going to need to pack more wind indicator because my hair is a really good wind indicator to tell which way the wind's going.
That honestly, that is true. I've seen it.
I can feel it slightly hitting the back of my neck. I'm like, ooh, I need to back out really quick or I need to move around because the buck's going to smell me.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Good on people.
It's a valid point for long hair. Very valid point.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about anything gear wise we switched up, I think. Uh-huh. Obviously, we did our gear list videos. Mm-hmm. And we always try to, I like to say that, you know, gear lists that we do are like a living, breathing document. Like they always are changing and modifying. And
yep.
as you lead up to the hunt, you might, the weather could be different or something else happens.
We're always tinkering.
You're always tinkering on it. Yeah. It's never just like, this is always what I pack.
Yeah.
Like anything you guys changed last minute that's like notable?
Yes.
Which is?
I was like waiting for that like, deep pause. Like, it's going to be epic.
Cue the ambient noise.
Yeah. I said on Omar's hunt, like how proper cold I got in proper. August.
I love that word.
I wasn't just cold. Like I was really cold. So I didn't necessarily switch anything out. I did switch one thing out. I added a Grunman vest from Stone Glacier. Mm-hmm. I'm not a vest guy. I'm not a sleeveless guy by any means, but just that little bit of core warmth, and it weighs nothing. Omar, during the gear list I did with Omar, he had one, and I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely going to add that. And then I had the Cirque Light jacket, but I'm taking that out, and I'm bringing in our prototype that we had in the office.
Interesting.
So I'm bringing that because it's warm and it's very performance based.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
I'm sure there'll be some, it's just inevitable that there's going to be some assets of it from this hunt, but it's an awesome jacket. It's really good.
We so I'm bringing that warm.
And that's really all of,
you got one, your pack.
Oh, I did change out my pack too. You're right. Yeah. I'm going with the Kafaru doll bag. Mm. So I'm doing the doll bag. What's the frame? Arc frame. So I'm doing the arc frame and the doll bag. I changed that out from the Metcalf. I was doing the Metcalf 100, Metcalf Light 100. And I changed that out for the Kafaru doll.
And a lid too.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a
lid and pouch. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lee got to have a lid.
Yeah.
On hunts like this.
Yeah, you just need more volume.
The cool thing about Kafaru's lid is it's 1500 CI. It's huge. Yeah.
As Trell would say, that's the junk drawer of the backpacking world because you just toss everything in it.
When you live back there for that long, you kind of need a junk drawer.
Yeah.
You need a little garage.
Yeah. Stack shit up in there. Don't even know what's in there.
Weapon-wise, everything same? You didn't change arrows? No, didn't change broadheads?
I have not changed anything. We shot... yesterday, Omar and I shot yesterday. Got Omar in the gym with me. He lifted.
Oh,
I do lift.
First time for everything.
Ish.
I do lift ish.
Ish. We had you really lifting yesterday.
During this time of the year, I don't lift at all.
Yeah. So we had you really lifting. And then we went out and shot afterwards. And it was just more validation that I am not touching anything on any of my setup when it comes to that.
We're dialed.
Dialed. I will say young Omar, shooting with him last year, getting ready for New Mexico, because that was, that's his famous first animal he's ever killed with a bow. Shooting with him last year compared to this year is wild. Guy's just throwing absolute darts in there, and I'm like, okay. I actually got to focus up so I don't lose to you. Last year was easy. I was just making fun of you the whole time.
Yeah, it was a big difference. I don't know what it was.
Just I think like it's a confidence. It's coming to confidence and experience. Yeah. Like you smoked a deer with your bow.
Yeah.
Like that's confidence. Yards. You're doing
shooting
everything
more.
Right.
I know how to like work my bow now more.
Uh-huh.
So all that stuff just adding up. I mean, it's literally all I do. Like I have a bow that my old phase four that's retired now. She's not retired, but basically retired. Backup bow. She sleeps right next to me. You know, I see her every day.
Yeah, I see her every day.
Did you change anything out with your gear? You changed bivy. You're going bivy now.
Oh, yeah, with my gear. Yeah, I could touch on that. I bought a bivy during the last time I was on the podcast.
You literally did. You were on the podcast and bought it.
A bivy. So the Outdoor Research Helium, I think the new updated version for 2024, which I don't really know what's different about it. I just know it's a bivy. And then I have our Go Hunt Dynema tarp that I'm excited to use. So I got a super lightweight setup from what I had before, which was even a lightweight setup with the Stone Glacier Sky Aero T. but where I really want to save. Saving weight's great, but it's more like the time that it's we're time. Talking about.
It's all time.
You know, setting that thing up, setting it down.
The weight's just off. The awesome byproduct that you get.
Yeah.
The weight savings, but the amount of time you save.
And like finding a spot to just.
Yes.
You know.
You literally can just squeeze between two logs and be stuck there.
Yeah.
You don't need a footprint at all.
Mm-hmm. So my sleep system is changed in terms of, you know, shelter and tarp. And then I'm actually going to switch up the pack too. I'm going to run the Kafaru Absaroka with on the ARC frame.
Is the hardest name to say.
Kafaru and Absaroka?
The Absaroka.
Yeah. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, I think it is too, yeah.
I've heard Absorka too.
Yeah, Absorka.
Yeah,
some people say it like that.
Oh.
Hello.
Trail.
What's happening?
You're on the podcast.
I always wanted to do this, be a call-in guest.
Well, you are a call-in guest. We're talking about changes we made in our gear before we left.
Yes.
Did you make any last-minute changes?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I went through every single piece and looked at it, trying to make like a judgment call. Like, do I really need it? Do I not need it? I think I'm going to ditch my puffy pants.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, I think I might because
that's not one I saw coming.
I know. So the rain gear that I have is pretty heavy duty. And I got to thinking it's a little extra weight. It's super waterproof, which is nice. And I like that. But I thought provided I got real cold, I could probably just layer up those and ditch the puffy pants this time. And I might regret that, but I did do that. The other thing I added to my pack, and this is just like a little tiny thing. Do you guys take floss picks?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never taken floss picks.
Oh, you dirty mouth boy.
But I took floss picks because I've had times. I just made a big batch of elk jerky from the bull I shot last year. And every once in a while, I'll get like a piece of jerky stuck in my back tooth. And over a day or two, if I can't get it out, it can be a headache.
Yeah, it starts to hurt. Like hurt bad.
No, it also could work well for the floss picks.
What?
You could take that little section of floss out and tie some extra soft knocks if your bow messes up.
Brady, you're nuts.
Brady, yeah, my dual soft purpose.
Knocks aren't coming soft off,
yeah, we don't have to think about that. No,
those are tight.
I eat so much meat, like, you know, jerky and carnivore snacks and all. I've had to bring it because I know exactly what you mean. Like, it literally will give you a headache.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I added a little bit to my medical kit. I got some different size bandages. I got some butterfly bandages.
Smart.
Added a couple of melatonin, like a little melatonin, like 2.5 milligram melatonin, just because I thought, you know, if the bugles are so loud at night, I can't sleep.
Attaboy.
Pop one of those and give me some Z's, but. Those are kind of ones that like the top of my head, but yeah, it was like it was a really good exercise just to lay everything out and then go through line by line and look at everything. And man, once you start putting everything together, you just realize how much planning and prep and how much effort goes into this. Like my whole back of my Forerunner, I had to lay both seats down. They're just, you know, chuck full of stuff, all the what ifs.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were talking about, is now that we have all of our stuff laid out and it's like that final prep. It's all, you start looking at things and you're like, man, I should probably change that out. I can get, you know, more warmth for less weight. I can, you know, be more comfortable with this or whatever. That's exactly what we're talking about.
For sure. Yeah. I got hooked up with Jim over at Marsupial with the new bino harness. He hooked me up with a gray one. So
Ray,
I got that. I swapped everything over. I took, I had like 3 bottles of the wind checker, you know, that were kind of like getting low. So I married those into one bottle. So I got one big bottle of Winchester now. So I'm not going to run out of that. I gave Omar, so last week when I was down there, I helped Omar set up a bow and his rest was actually malfunctioning a little bit.
Yep. I remember that.
Which was, it was handy. Cause I had one in, sorry, there's a guy like right on the freeway, like right on the yellow line.
like a guy or a car?
Oh, like a guy standing right on the yellow line, like he's hitchhiking or something.
That's not safe.
Yeah, no, not safe. Anyway, I had that rest in my little Yeti to go box and ran out and grabbed that and put that on Omar's bow and tuned it right up. So then, you know, this morning before I left, I thought, oh, I'm gonna grab another rest and just throw it in that to go box just in case. There's just like all these little things. You just never know. And when you're going on a destination hunt and you're driving, you know, 10 hours or whatever, and then you're another 5 or 6 or 8 hour hike into the woods. I just want to know that I have everything in my truck that I can fix anything.
Yep, exactly. Brady literally said that exact same thing like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you
one little tip?
Yeah.
I always pack two sleeping bags, two sleeping pads. I've got one for just like sleeping, throwing out the side of the road. If I get to the trailhead, that's handy. So I don't have to unpack my whole backpack. And I know that's like all extra and not everybody can have extra, but man, just like those little things just help.
Yeah. So you don't have to be digging in your backpack to actually sleep right there at the truck.
For sure.
Yeah, it is nice. It's really nice. Are you driving right now?
I am. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep, super, super smoky. You guys got a ton of smoke?
Yeah. Tons of smoke.
Man, everywhere is just socked in. I mean, it is thick. You can taste it.
Yeah, it was not fun to ruck this morning.
This is the moment, Brady, when you're glad that the elk bugle.
Exactly, Brady. That's why September's for elk.
That's it.
You got me there.
Because when it's smoky like this and you can't glass for muleys, boy, it's rough. Really ruins your day.
And with elk, you just sit there and listen.
Yeah, that's it. You're still going to bugle.
And then for you elk guys, too, it actually makes it nicer because it adds that masking scent of smoke in the air.
There you go.
Not going to get winded.
I didn't even think about that. This is great for us. This is great for us, Trail. All right.
Brady, always thinking of the angles.
Always thinking of the angles.
But Trail did just say, though, he texted me while we're on the podcast. He says, Muzzy looks like it's pounding. I kind of want to just come watch you shoot a big buck.
After I shoot a big bull.
Oh, okay.
I should have sent that.
Yeah, you need to clarify that.
I should have clarified. But I was thinking as I was driving, Brady's so good at stories, you know, like the little picture of the bug that he had. And
mm-hmm.
just like all the little things that Brady does in his stories, they're always kind of entertaining. And then, I was just thinking about that those bucks that Brady found. And I was thinking, man, that'd be sick to get one of those shots. See it tip over.
The bucks definitely don't suck. That's for sure. So kill your bull and then go meet up with Brady.
That's what I was thinking.
Trail also did say, too, that if I kill early, he might need someone to pack some meat. So I was like, I probably will head over and come help you pack meat if I kill before you.
Look at this. Look at the teamwork here.
Man, if the weather's cool, Brady, and I get one the first few days, I might as well just hang that thing and just wait for you. let's see what a pack mule Brady is.
That's a great idea. All right, well, thank you. Yeah, we're just talking about how much gear.
That
is a cool bug.
When are you guys taking off?
Tomorrow morning.
Right on. Set to go?
Not really. Life with kids, you know? Like I'm still in the middle of it. That's why I said I wish you were here to start this podcast off, because you're my kin when it comes to, you know, having to get ready for hunts with kids around.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I wasn't able to load everything up till this morning early because, you know, I still got to drop kids off at school. I'm still making school lunches and breakfast this morning and trying to get everybody out the door before I can actually really start loading up and get going. So I know it. I feel it.
Exactly. I have not packed one bag of food yet, and I have a full day of work. I got wrestling practice tonight, and we leave at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. So.
Oh, man. Good luck.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Okay. We'll see you guys on the flip side. We'll put a big pile together and see how we all did.
Sounds good. Good luck.
Okay. See you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
I knew he was going to be good for that.
Yeah.
He's always dialed.
I like how fast he answered, too.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
He knew what was up.
Yeah. He did mention yesterday. He's like, if you guys are really bored, you know, it'd be nice. Maybe you could call me in. Like,
we'll call in guests.
I'm like, we don't know how to do that. We're not that technical savvy, but we can hold the phone next to the mic.
Hey, did that sound good?
It sounded great.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
Yeah, we got a little advice.
Look at us.
And those are really good tips, Trailhead, too. Like the whole sleeping bag thing, bring double, because like we dealt with that a couple years ago when we were bear hunting. All of our sleeping bags were already packed in the bottom of our backpack. And then we got to the spot and we're like, we need to sleep right now. You slept in the truck. I just like slept on the ground.
Yeah,
like,
Trails told me that back when I hunted with him in New Mexico. That's when he gave me that idea. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal idea. And like you said, not everybody, you know, it's not easy to have extras, but if you do have extras and hand-me-downs and your kids have something, it is nice to just throw in an extra pad and bag.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be the nicest sleeping bag. It can be one of those just like whatever bags or you know, even just blankets.
A
pillow from your spare bedroom or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the Yeti Go box thing too. Like having extra tools, extra rest. Like he probably has something to you know, compress his limbs a little bit so we can actually work on a string if something weird happens. Like having all that essentials, like I'm bringing, you know, giant Allen wrench kits. I'm bringing extra wrenches for like a muzzle loader and making sure I have everything dialed. Way more powder tubes than I need to, way more bullets because, well, shit might happen. Maybe I drop them and they go tumbling down a creek.
100%.
Like, who knows what that's going to happen out
there. Maybe you got to reset in your gun for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just even tools for your truck, like all those little things you got to think about, like make sure you have a charge cord in your vehicle. So while you're driving, you actually can charge your phone.
Yeah.
So your phone's at 100% before you go out in the backcountry and don't burn your charge bricks.
Last night I was trying to get all of that stuff done. So I'm like, okay, I need my watch charger, my inReach charger, my phone charger, my headlamp charger. Okay, I have all that. I went and plugged it in my truck. So it's like, it's there. Now I can charge all that on the drive.
Exactly. Because even though my stuff is slightly charged, it does concern me. Like, since I charged it all a week and a half ago, is it still fully at 100%?
It lost
Or is that 95%? That's going to bug me.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
That's why I like to pull them from the plug right there at the trailhead.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've even brought extra charge bricks too. Just like random charge bricks sitting there. So like, let's say I do come out and my plan A spot doesn't work out and you loop around the mountain to hunt the buck again. Now I have a charge brick there that's fresh to go in the backcountry or also just to charge extra stuff.
You just reminded me. I added another charge brick into my gear section. And the reason why is Omar and I both big time UFC fans, huge UFC fans. Big fight on Saturday. Real big fight.
So at
the Sphere, first time I brought a charge brick just so we can climb to the peak. We already verified there is service at the peak. So I'm climbing to the peak. We're going to be on the peak Saturday night watching the fights.
Heck yes.
At like 12,000 feet.
I figured you guys freezing our asses off. I figured you guys would just do the Mark Livesey because you guys seen them with their moose updates.
Oh,
like they have Starlink.
Projector. Oh, really? That would be.
They brought Starlink mobile.
That'd be phenomenal.
In the middle of nowhere on a moose hunt, and they've been doing like live updates.
We verified with the meat packer there is good cell service at the peaks. So
better
Saturday night. Our planned. So Saturday is a full scout day for us. We're going in a day and a half early. Saturday's a full scout day, so we're going to scout all day, and then towards the evening we're starting to push up and we're going to go watch the fights.
Yeah.
So I brought a charge brick just for that.
Yeah.
Nice. That's how big of fans we are.
You got to do what you got to do.
You know?
It's be a sick fight.
It's going to be awesome fight.
Sean O'Malley.
That's who you want?
That's what I want. Yeah. Yeah. I like Sean O'Malley.
Is it because he's married to a Mexican girl?
No. It's because, I don't know. I think he's a cool fighter. He's entertaining.
He is entertaining. I want him to win too. I'm just giving you shit.
So you went out through all your changes?
So I did shelter, pack, and that I think that's it. I did add a Tyvek ground cloth too. Do you have one?
No, but that's smart.
Yeah, I'm always just scared of my stuff popping because it's happened before. Just like,
and if it's wet, if it's real wet.
Yeah, so I did that. Weighs nothing. We carry them in the shop.
I mean, it's inevitable. We're gonna get afternoon storms.
Yeah,
it's just that's what happens.
I am starting to get a little older in age.
No, you're not.
I feel like I am. I feel like I am, you know, getting a beard and stuff.
starting to get a few chin hairs.
A few strands there. No, I did also put some insoles in my boots.
Oh, some new ones.
There were some old ones. Like, I had them.
But swapping out insoles is the best thing for.
But, like, I'm always the guy, like, I'm not going to, like, put insoles in. Like, I'll just use the stock ones.
No.
But I do, like, realize, you know, go figure, like, if you put insoles in, your feet feel better and all the miles and stuff. And
I think that a lot of people, like, boots aren't expensive. So it is crazy to spend more money on something. But everyone's foot is different.
Mm-hmm.
So boot companies make boots. You know, the insoles are not made to fit everyone. They're just they are. That's the downside of it. They're made to accommodate everyone.
Yeah, the foot bed is made to try and accommodate the most style of feet possible.
It's not going to be comfortable for yours. You have high arch, low arch, whatever. So if you
find the insoles that are for your particular feet and then put that in the boot that's made for a swath of different foot sizes, that's when you, like, that's where the marriage really works.
Yeah.
So that's good you did that.
Yeah, and I also got, I've had it for 4 years ever since I worked for the football team in college, plantar fasciitis from just being on my feet so much and all the running.
Yep.
And the doctor's always like, you wear insoles? And I was like, no. He's like, well, you got to like wear insoles. It'll probably help you out. And just me being so stubborn, I've never really done it. I still don't do it with my running shoes, but I am going to try to do it more with my hunting boots. So added insoles.
I'm trying to think of, you wrapped up on all your stuff or anything else?
I will say you... the years that I've had an early season backcountry hunt, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
For sure. Cause then when you roll into the next one, it is so easy.
It's like a pregame.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
So I'm jealous.
It was nice. You came out for a day.
Yeah. I mean, it was one overnight. That's not really a backcountry hunt.
Yeah.
It was two overnights, but still, like, when you're dialed in with gear that much for a, you know, 12 day high country bow mule deer hunt.
Yeah.
It's very easy to roll into a high country elk bow hunt. So I'm jealous on that one.
Yeah. I made some changes as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear them.
I would have expected that.
Yeah. Tinkering, would you change? Tinkering too much. Some things I'm like, I change for the good of safety back there because...
Oh, I got one more. Sorry, can I add
go
it?
Go for it, yeah.
I added the Stone Glacier med kit.
Oh, yeah.
That they have. They have a new med kit. And my med kit has always just been like 3 Band-Aids.
We saw on the gear list.
Some moleskin, maybe some chapstick, which isn't even, you know. So, it's been bad. So Stone Glacier makes a pretty cool med kit.
Yeah.
And I added that.
That's good.
So I got a tourniquet in case things go sideways, Lorenzo. Yeah,
that's something
you're
I did a couple
under my arms.
Well, you have the marsupial belt, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of did that a couple years ago when we had John Barklow down here.
Yeah.
We went through our impossibles.
Possibles. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Impossibles or possibles?
For Omar, it's impossible. Yeah. And like I was like, yeah, I probably should change it. And I did the same thing for years. Just had like gauze. Maybe I had like one, I don't know, pin or something like that in there, like a little clothespin.
Yeah.
And then like a couple Band-Aids. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably gonna cut it. And so
super
like,
lightweight, but
man, if I'm being
dicey,
if I'm being entirely honest, like when I first started backcountry hunting a long time ago, I didn't bring anything. I brought literally nothing.
No.
Not even Band-Aids.
I know. It's like, I've seen a lot of things happen. I've seen people cut themselves to the bone with Havilon blades. Oof, and like, it's just time. I've had, you know, friends fall off mountains before and they've gotten, you know, we had search and rescue come up and deal with that. So it's like, I've been there. And it's like, might as well be prepared. And that's why I'm glad Omar's now also.
It does come with age. So maybe you are sprouting a few more hairs
on
that chin.
I'm telling you, these beers.
You getting peppered?
Yeah, I'm getting very peppered.
Peppered with a little bit of salt?
I don't know if there's any salt yet.
Okay.
Just more pepper.
Yeah, so some of the things I added was like a little bit more towards safety and just like knowing it's going to be nasty and probably get a lot of wind and rain. Because like scouting, I can have a little bit easier, nicer setup or lighter setup. So I did change my tent. Went with a skyscraper, 2-person tent, which adds a lot of weight. It is heavy.
It's bomb-proof, though.
It's bomb-proof. It's literally, I can put it on top of the mountain on the ridge line and still be able to camp in the wind.
If you're doing like a main camp, that's a great one.
Yeah.
It's bomb-proof. You're going to have a nice setup.
Yeah, I did try to ditch some weight on it by like not carrying the footprint. A lot of times I do want to value my items I buy because I don't want that tent to last. So I always carry a footprint. But it's like, I'm going to save that whatever it is, 6 ounces, and not carry the footprint for it and just be cautious of where I pitch it. So I changed that out. Did change my sleeping bag. I went from ditch to quilt, which hurts me because it's so lightweight. But again, colder temperatures, depending on what weather I'm going to be getting, I kind of just want to, again, that safety factor.
There is a cold a cold front coming too.
Yeah.
It's on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I've been muzzleloader hunting before where it's gotten dumped 1.5 feet of snow and freezing cold. So.
And you're high enough that, I mean, the cold front that's coming is no joke.
Yeah, if it's going to rain, it's probably going to snow. Yeah.
Here's how I... like reference how big of a cold front is coming. When you look at Vegas, if it drops 20 degrees in Vegas, between today and Tuesday, it's dropping 20 degrees.
Yeah.
Think about, I mean, that's Vegas.
Yeah.
So think about these other places. Like it's going to be, it's a legitimate cold front.
What is it, 78 here?
Yeah. Like the high is
maybe like 82 or something.
No, it's in the 70s.
Wow. Yeah. 70,
which anyone who doesn't know Vegas, but
that's insane.
Yeah,
that's
we're like,
wow.
Time to put the jacket on. So get the puppy out. Yeah.
So it's actually moved up to Monday. So Monday is low 80s. Wednesday is dropping to 78, and that's Vegas. So I know we're not talking crazy numbers here, but if you don't know Vegas, I mean, that's pretty insane to have a 78 degree day.
Yeah,
just out
during
of nowhere.
This time of year. Yeah.
It's wild. So it's dropping from 105 to 78 by.
That's going to be killer.
It's hitting Monday. Starting to hit Monday.
Yep. So yeah, bring the essentials.
Bring the essentials.
And that's why also I'm switching it and I'm taking the Go Hunt Basin Merino zip off pants.
Nice.
Those are sweet.
Crazy light.
Yeah.
6.7 ounces
yeah.
for a pair of zip-off merino leggings.
Yeah.
And again, so I'm a guy of long extremities, no body fat. Like, I get cold. Just part of the game for me. So I'm changing that.
Should cross to bear.
Yeah. I'm changing my boots.
Changing your boots?
Yeah.
Two?
I'm going from my Alverstones to my Hanwag Trapper Tops.
Okay.
So yeah, it's like leather. And yeah. like...
Leather boys.
I am. So... And like every day, the dew up there, you know, in the high country, like you wake up in the morning, the grass is all wet.
Yeah.
And then you hike around in the rain... Boots get wet. Like, yeah, sure, leather can still soak, but like synthetic, as soon as like me, I get a little bit more wet. So I'm just going to put the leathers on. That way I can go in the nasty, steep terrain and feel like I'm still comfortably safe. And if it rains for 5 days in a row, I think I'll be fine still.
To put that weather in perspective, where you and I are going, Omar, I just looked. The nearest town, which by the way is 4,000 feet lower than we're going to be, the high is 55 and the low is 36.
Yeah, it's going to be chilly.
Oof.
That's cold.
I was thinking about
we'll have ice for sure.
Ditching my Circle Light jacket while we're talking about gear. I mean, oh no, take because I have so my base layer goes merino, our Black Rock, Circle Light jacket, Stone Glacier vest, and then their Grumman puffy jacket. And I was thinking of taking out the Circle Light when you were talking to Trail in terms of saving weight. But yeah, I think you just reassured me to just pack it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The point being like, and by the way, it says cloud cover. That's snow. If there's any moisture, that's going to be snow for us.
Go skiing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we're going to be doing. Just sending a bull off the side of the mountain on a sled.
Riding it down.
Gosh. Yeah. So that's pretty much the big changes I made.
Interesting. Do you feel like you're going to make any more at all?
No.
I don't think so. Set on that. I literally, all of that stuff is done for me. I just need to pack my food.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally all I have left.
Probably the biggest thing I'm jealous in your gear list, Brady, is which is not like nothing crazy, but those steaks that you're using.
Oh, yeah.
That's our unreleased steaks.
Yeah, the Go Hunt, I think they're calling them the Go Hunt Spike Tent Steaks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're badass little aluminum ones.
I have them.
Yeah.
Oh, you have some?
I'm bringing them. Yeah.
I'm the only not cool guy here. I don't get any prototypes.
You haven't made it there
I get like
yet.
A t-shirt.
Maybe the reason I got the prototypes is because I helped decide what the final one was because based on my previous experience. Because I like steaks with a little bit more surface area because it grips the ground a little bit better.
You got your hats.
I got my hats.
You have those prototype hats.
Yeah. Big bucks, good times.
Are you going to wear it?
Well, we're going big elk, good times.
I know, but like, are you going to wear it to and from?
I'll wear it to and from.
Yeah, you better. Yeah. It's your prototype.
I threw in a cool, sick t-shirt design idea to Kevin.
I saw that.
Do you really like that one?
It's a really good idea.
We're not going to say it because someone's going to poach it. But
it's a phenomenal idea.
That'd be sick.
You'll get the prototype of that too. It's your idea.
I hope so.
See?
Maybe
see
we'll how this works? Maybe we call it the Lopez tee.
do you guys know what your total pack weight is going in?
I don't know. I don't know exact yet, but just through the Google sheet, it looks like 73-ish.
Yeah.
Which for 14 days of food.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of food weight. Yeah.
I'm not that upset about it.
No.
It's pretty good for that much food.
No.
Do you have your pack weight yet? Have you weighed it?
No.
Or have your list out?
No. No.
You're going to be right there. Right, similar.
Yeah. Last year we were like a couple pounds. Off.
Yeah. Because my pack weight... So this is like what I call the base pack weight. This is everything minus food, obviously no water, but the water containers, 41.59 pounds. Good. And then you add food in there, but still no water.
That's with weapon?
No, it's not weapon. Oh,
no weapon. Okay. Yep.
Full pack weight, which is I consider everything I just mentioned with food, water containers, but no water, 57.86. And then, cross that off. First pack, base pack weight, 37.5. When I forgot, I do minus out my bino harness and my wind check and my Kestrel because that's kind of on my body.
Yeah. It's not pack weight. I agree.
Yeah. So that's like, I do have two separate categories. I was reading from the opposite category. So 37.51 for the base pack weight, 53.77, all that base pack weight plus food. And then total trailhead weight, 1 liter of water, my Nalgene, weapon on my back, 10 days of food, 68.15 pounds.
Yeah. That's what all of us are going to be within 5 pounds of each other. Yeah. It just depends on how long we're going back for. Like the difference of mine and yours is literally just the extra days of food.
Yep. And again, that is weighed to the best of my ability and utilizing my calculator here. I haven't actually put all my stuff in my backpack yet and put it on a scale, but I do the best on all my spreadsheet is, create everything. So every time I add something to it, it automatically calculates it. So that's just going off formulas.
You count your camera and lens on that?
No, it's no camera and lens right now. No.
No. So are you taking it?
I'm taking it. Yeah. So it's going to be more because I'm going to pack two lenses and then I'll pack usually two or three batteries. I do usually 328 gigabyte.
You're going to be heavier than me then.
Yeah.
Because I'm 73, again, best of my abilities, calculations, not like weighing the pack itself. Mm-hmm. But that's 73 with water, with weapon, everything. So if you add cameras and stuff, you're going to be...
Yeah. One thing I have on here too is I do have my eyeglasses, but I don't have my contact weight, which I probably should just add my contact weight to it, but my contact mirror is essentially... Right, yeah. But I think it's actually a lot.
Brady, because really?
Come on, Brady.
I don't think your contacts are that much.
Because I'm gonna be gone 10 days. I don't have the ones where I can re-clean them every single day. Like I have dailies. Me too. So I have the little pieces of plastic every single day. So if you're like, oh, Brady, you're an ultralight guy, why don't you just get one of the little containers and throw your dailies in there with solution and then maybe like change it out. But it's like my eyes are everything to me and I'm already
blind. Because the dailies aren't made to do that.
Dailies aren't made to do that.
After the second day of doing that, they literally like melt onto your eyeballs.
Yeah.
I've tried it.
And so like that's like, it is a lot of weight because I'm...
Acuvue Oasis.
No.
I'm telling you boys.
They're in little plastic containers. Yeah. And so those I have to carry every day. And that's like, then I have to bring all that freaking trash back out, which drives me crazy. And I don't know where I was going with that besides for like...
The weight
side of it. And then I carry extras too. Like I always have
how extra. Many extras do you carry? I was going to ask both you guys that. How many extra contacts do you carry?
4 full days of extras.
4 full days of extras. What about you?
Like 4, yeah.
4?
Dude, but I honestly have been rocking the same one since we went on our antelope hunt.
You don't wear dailies?
I wear dailies. Like when I was in high school and I was getting my contacts, the doctor was like, dude, I'm just going to warn you. Like these are so comfortable. Like if you're not changing them out every day, like you're probably like going to keep them in for like weeks and stuff because like they don't feel like you're in your eyes. And it's true. Like until like I go like hunting or like I'm, you know, riding a quad or something that's like super dusty, like I could feel like that they need to be changed out. But for the most part, like they're super comfortable and I never had like eye infection or anything. Super bad habit.
I can't sleep. My eyes get all...
Mine are, dude, fine.
I would wake up in the morning, they're all crusty over.
Yeah.
No, mine are fine.
Got the nice young eyes.
Yeah. He probably blinks while he sleeps. Probably.
Probably. I have three. I bring 3 full days.
So 3 extras. Yeah,
that's what I bring is 3 extras. Yeah. That's always my like go-to is 3 extras.
Because I figure too, then if I have 3 extras and I actually need all those, which highly likelihood, maybe one will pop out, like a left or right and pop that in.
Yeah.
But if it gets start down the end, I'm going to start like, okay, now I need to start maybe like sleeping with these contacts and like...
Yeah, to save one for a day.
Just have a backup. So like the reason I brought that up, the contact thing, is I watched your guys' gear list. And you were talking about contacts and hand sanitizer for the eyes, and you don't believe what Trail and I say.
If I'm touching eyeballs.
Yeah, it's always gross when I kill a bear, and then I got to go back and then like...
Touch your eyeballs. 100%, dude. I can't do that.
I'm one with the bears. But like a bunch of people made comments about like LASIK and is a game changer. And like,
I'm doing it this year.
I really? I've been thinking about it a lot too, and it might be this winter. Maybe I consider it.
I've made the commitment to this off season. I'm getting everything I need to get done. And I'm going to try to do it all like back to back. Everything I need. I got to get snipped. No more kids. I got to get LASIK. I'm doing all that shit all at the same time.
I just need LASIK.
Yeah. We all do.
Should I just be crazy and throw it out there? Like the only reason I'm going to get LASIK is so I can save that weight for the backcountry of the contacts.
That's the glasses. Brady Miller thing to do. And then everyone will roast you on the internet.
And they're like, you spent all that money just to save just 6 ounces.
How expensive is it?
I don't know.
Like five,
someone said like four. Like
four or five grand, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you spent $5,000 just to save weight. Yeah, you're going to get torn up for it. Yeah. You'd have to do it.
I'll do it. I'll do it like at the doctor. Like, all right, the only reason I'm here right now, I want to save X amount of weight.
And I want to save 3 ounces.
3 ounces. So I'm going to spend $4,000 to save 3 ounces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
God forbid, but I'm not even going to say it.
Don't say it.
Yeah, that's why I thought about the same thing.
Might as well
put a gun to my head.
This is why
I've worn them afterwards.
I've worn them for 7 years and I've never done it because just don't say it.
Yeah.
But that's why I've never done it.
And my eyes haven't changed. Like the power. Like
mine haven't changed.
I like how you say that.
The magnification of my eyes hasn't changed.
Yep. Like coming in. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're funny.
I'm committed to it. I'm done with this. So over it.
Yeah, that's one thing I think we should get, especially Omar's still young yet, where maybe it's like maybe you should wait a little bit.
I'm old. I got fucking beard coming out, you know.
The only one I can't decide hurts, is my knee. Hurt. It's the only one I can't
That
decide.
One's tough because you got rehab.
It's not an ACL or anything. It's actually a pretty quick fix, but I mean, it's still 6 weeks.
What do they got to do? What's the procedure?
Just clean it out, tighten some things up.
Like scar tissue?
Yeah. Tighten some things up, clean it out, but it's not
take
like...
Take the socket out and like adjust the bolts on there.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. Tighten them. I've never done it since the day I heard it in high school. I've never fixed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Just bugs you a little bit.
It's just always like kind of there, you know, it's like just always in my mind and I've never legitimately needed to fix it. So I've never done it. So I don't know if I can get all three, four things that I need done all within a month. So that the 6 weeks of my knee kind of eats up the recovery of everything else as well. I might do it.
Yeah.
If I can get it all timed out like that.
Go get some stem cells.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah,
definitely doing that.
Down
to Colombia. If I get the procedure done, I'm 100% doing it.
Trip to Colombia.
Yeah, South America. Yeah. For sure.
That's dedication right there.
That's a 6 week recovery though too.
Yeah.
So if I can get it all timed out, I'm not saying I'm doing it for sure. If I can get it all set up and timed out, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So,
what other last minute things are going on right now? So we all three have different lives. Mm-hmm. Omar, he's kind of...
I'll throw one in for you. So we are going for so many days. I'm going to sound like Brady Miller here. We're going so deep and we're going for so many days. We found a guy to pack us in.
Nice.
And the thought process behind this is a completely new place. We've never been here. We're going in a day and a half early to scout it. I want to be as fresh as humanly possible to check out. I don't want to kill myself. You've been hunting with me now. Typically, I like going in a day and a half early because you sleep in the next day. You get situated. Yeah. You get hydrated back up. You get caloried back up. So, you know, you hit the ground running when it comes to hunting. Yeah. But with this place, we have no intel. Mm-hmm. We have never been there. We don't know any like firsthand people that have been in there and know it really well. So it's like completely blind. Mm-hmm. So we've been looking for a packer to bring us in and drop us off at the peak. And that's what we're going to do. So we can be as fresh as humanly possible for the full 15 days back there scouting. And
yeah, especially with the amount of food you guys are carrying, the food weight alone,
that's
the other thing too. And it's deep as all get out to get to the top. But once we're at the top, we can run a bunch of ridges. We can cut off a bunch of country, all that stuff.
Yeah. And how it happened was we were looking for a packer to pack a bull out, say we kill it, you know, day one or something.
Yeah.
And then I had asked, you guys pack people in too? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're like,
we got it figured out to do it. But what that adds in though is you can't pack your backpack yet. Because you're dealing with stock and panniers and weight per side and all this stuff. So now, like I'm in my house, I have my backpack and two totes with everything like loose.
That's kind of hard because then you're going to go into it like not set up.
So I have one of my totes is like absolute, it's going. And then my other tote is like backups if I have to make a change, you know, if whatever reason with stock and panniers and all that. So I'm stressed about that because I don't want to pack my backpack full because I know we're just going to get there to load up these horses and he's going to want to change stuff, you know what I mean? So now I just have everything loose, so that's added a whole nother level of like how do we do this.
There's also a second big issue too that I see of doing a packer, because now you're also relying on someone else's time schedule.
Correct.
So now you guys have to leave at a certain time to drive. Or obviously you could sleep overnight somewhere and then meet the next morning.
Correct.
But if you want to meet him at a certain time, you have to leave a certain thing.
We're on his schedule.
Yeah, you're on his schedule now. So that also adds some extra pressure to make sure you're dialed with the family, dialed with
100%.
Work, and get there to meet someone. We're like, normally you could just show up whenever. It's like,
I wanted to pack my food tomorrow morning. Can't. Got to make it there.
Yeah. I'm just excited to ride a horse.
I mean, can't
imagine Omar on a horse.
Oh, what? Come on. You didn't see the video of me riding a horse in Mexico? Should have had a rope and I could ride a horse.
I think I actually saw that. Yeah, I think you're right.
My dad has cattle and horses.
I'm not that excited because my experience is like sheep hunting. You have to use stock to get back there. And it's like you ride a, now granted, this isn't even near a sheep hunt horse ride, but dude, riding a horse for 2 straight days for 8 hours a piece and then getting off and it's like, okay, now go hike that mountain. Dude, your hip flexors and hips and knees and ankles is like, wait,
just get that cowboy walk.
Like, dude, walking like a duck for the first day and a half of trying to go up a mountain, getting straight off a horse. That's not that fun.
I just think it looked, I don't know. It is like cool, like everything new where you'd like never done it, you're excited for, but I'm sure after the ride in, but
yeah, just get me good off with this that one. Just get me to the peak. Yeah.
So what's what's like tonight look like for you guys? Obviously, we last minute packing, hanging out with family, but anything like special you guys are doing, like obviously hanging out, like doing anything fun with family the night before, getting a certain food item the night before, like you guys going dirty food this time because like everything else from here on out is going to be clean.
Like no, our go-to is a good breakfast before we hit the trailhead. So we'll hit like last year we hit a Denny's. That was the closest one. I'm sure there'll be a cafe in this town where that'll be the, you know, the cheap meal before going in there. Yeah. Like what'd we do last year? Steak, eggs, and pancakes.
Yeah. It's always like something sweet and savory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll for sure do that. That's my go-to. But tonight I got wrestling practice and then packing food. Like I'm going to try to get as much family time as I possibly can, but I literally have to get this food into bags tonight. I don't have an option. We're on the road tomorrow at 4:45. No choice.
Yeah. What about you, Omar?
Well, kind of similar because I'm filming some stuff for the film. So I'll go to wrestling practice.
So you got wrestling practice?
I got wrestling practice. And I will go to his house too to
pack food bags.
Yeah. You joked the other day that you're basically a dad because you went to what? Baseball practice?
Oh, baseball practice.
Why don't you tell people how baseball practice is?
Oh my gosh. I told one of the coaches there, one of the other dads was like, this is what I got to look forward to. Like kids throwing balls at my butt and freaking running around. And
they're like throwing balls at you? The
bro,
kids are?
Not me. Oh,
it's chaos. It's insane. Is absolute chaos.
Kid rocking around in Crocs at baseball practice.
It's chaos.
It's insane. Organized chaos.
And I mean, these kids are so. My kid and my nephew, my brother's kid, they're the two youngest on the team. They're 5. And it goes up to 7-year-olds. Uh-huh. And it's still chaos. I mean, you're talking 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds. Like, it's not that young.
Yeah.
And it's still, I mean, you're trying to, like, teach these kids, where's right field? Where's left field? Because this year, this is the first, like, true year of baseball. So they all have to play set positions. So right field, left field, shortstop, second base. Like, they can't just...
Everyone,
be a swarm of kids running to the ball. Like we actually were keeping score. There's outs, the whole deal. So you're like trying to teach these kids, you know, stand on home base. So right, left arm, right arm, left field, right field. You're trying to teach them.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, I got kids throwing dirt at me.
Yeah.
Kids throwing baseballs at my back. Kids punching me like literally as hard as they can.
It's pretty funny.
It's absolute chaos. That's you were just good. Laughing the entire time.
Yeah. You have a camera and you're like being a cameraman, you kind of just feel like a fly on the wall.
And then Turtle had a blood sugar issue.
Yeah.
Like he crashed hard. So like in the middle of all of it, I'm like trying to get Turtle picked back up, like giving him fruit and some Gatorade, like trying to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are climbing fences.
Yeah.
Kids are trying to escape and run away to the park. Dude, it's wild.
Dang.
Those are my nights.
Yeah.
So
that's what you have to look forward to, Brady.
Uh-huh.
I've been shadowing being a dad the last couple days.
And you're pushing it off further and further now.
No, you know, like when you get want to be something like my sister, she shadowed to be like a doctor. So like, you know, walk like be go with a doctor and stuff. Not saying I want to be a father or anything anytime soon, but essentially I've been shadowing you being a father and like going to these events. I'm like,
I don't know.
But yeah, my night looks like that. And then I kind of do this thing that I've been doing probably since I started here, where I kind of just lay out all my gear like in my garage on a like a Tyvek tarp, and then slowly, like, you know, 2 weeks out, start kind of throwing like some stuff there, wash all my clothes like unscented and just throw all my clothes there. You know, if I add something like a new shelter, I'll swap it out. And then finally, like today, I'll go through like the final check down, just make sure everything's there. But mentally, I know everything's there.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of like that last thing of like, did I miss, you know, my plan B for water purification or something like that? So that's what I'll do tonight. And then I got to pack. I got 10 days of food ready for me packed. I got to do the last couple days and then pack our cameraman's food.
Mm-hmm.
And then organize that together, probably in a Yeti Go box.
everyone's going to be frustrated. I keep bringing this back to a dad thing, but what you're doing right there, just try doing that with kids.
No, I don't think
try
it's
doing
possible.
That with kids. Because every time I do that, it has to go back into a box and up on a shelf.
So they don't.
I learned my lesson 3 years ago with doing that exact same thing, and it's like, okay, where the fuck did that go? Yeah. And then I'll find it in my kid's room, or you know, it's like you literally can't do that.
That's a good point. I might have to just lock the garage, but then they might put a fit when they can't get in.
Exactly. It has to go on a shelf, out of reach. Every time.
And I will add, prior like getting ready for the hunt, me and Lorenzo have been rucking. So getting familiar with weight on our backs.
Breaking in boots.
I just got a new pair of boots. So I've been breaking those in, which didn't really need a break-in period at all, to be honest. Those are just money.
That was a really good feeling today, doing that ruck today. It's like, okay, this is the finale of this year's rucking season. That's always a good, like, such a good feeling.
Yep.
Like, season starts. After today, there is no more rucking.
Yeah. Shooting our bows. At, you know, long distance just to be comfortable. That's a small, like little 1/3 elk target. Mm-hmm. So the size of a coos deer.
It literally is the size of a coos deer. Like it literally couldn't be more perfect the size of a coos deer.
Yeah.
And yesterday me and Omar did the 20 to 120 game, two arrows apiece, have to hit the kill zone to move on. And neither of us dropped a single round.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Literally, I thought, because last year I smoked you in that.
Oh, I'm not talking shit. And I was like, I'm good right here.
I'm not talking shit. But last year, we would play the 20 to 120 game, and I would smoke him.
And lose arrows.
This year, he's like, cut off two of my veins, because we're shooting broadheads only. So two of my veins are gone. I'm like, bro, who are you? Like, when did this happen?
Dang.
It's just,
Never dropped a single round. So we're good.
Ice in the veins.
No, it's just... good bow and good arrows, I guess.
Yeah. This morning I did 25 to 55 game.
Oh, you did?
Didn't drop a single round.
I didn't shoot this morning. Shoot. I don't know. I feel comfortable. Like, I'm sure we'll shoot at the town or at the trailhead.
We got to throw in a target if that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't really have space.
I guess
we put it in the cooler. Do you have a small target? We could throw a small
one
in the
cooler. That's
every target. Yeah. We could throw that in the cooler.
I got some similar stuff going on.
You shot this morning again.
Yeah.
As
you can smell.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
what you smell it right now? I can't smell it right now.
I walked past the office. I'm like, oh, he shot this morning.
Yeah. I feel super dialed with my muzzy right now. Like it was great to go out and shoot. I wanted to go to the desert this morning, brought my own steel out there to shoot because I just wanted to set targets at different distances and then to have all four of my shots like be perfect.
Right there.
And I was like, four, I'm done.
Yeah.
I guess all I needed, I didn't have to go on my normal practice routine.
That's how I felt. Coming off of shooting my spike and shooting at the ranch a ton, like a bunch of different angles and this and that, a bunch of different distances, because shooting at the ranch is easy doing that. Backyard's a little more difficult.
Yep.
But then coming home, playing the 20 to 120 with you, and then 25 to 55 this morning, I'm like, dude, I'm ready. Yep. Just get me a bull in front of me.
The only downside with a firearm is now I have to go home, though, and load more. Stuff where bow you're already dialed,
change out the tip.
Yeah, so like I gotta go home now and prime some modules. I gotta load some more powder tubes, get that stuff dialed. Last minute food things, throw in my backpack in the morning. Got my cooler already set up in my garage. I got my spare cooler, the little M30 hopper, with all sorts of drinks and that sort of stuff, and spare food as well. So I have like extra, you know, that doesn't go in the cooler obviously, but extra freeze dried, and extra snacks and stuff like that. So when I get back to the truck, I have something there, or if I'm packing meat and have to make two trips, just making sure I have other like supplements and stuff at the truck. Girlfriend's coming over tonight. I'm going to hang out for a while. Probably going to go a bunch of meals. I kind of am craving pizza right now as like one more hurrah.
Yeah. Pizza's a good one.
So I might go get some pizza and some garlic rolls tonight. She doesn't know that yet, but I'm going to text her in a little bit and be like, hey, babe, we're going to get some pizza and garlic rolls.
Some za.
Pizza's always a good send off.
Rings of Power.
Probably. I don't know what that is. But I'm sure it's something weird.
I don't.
The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I do like Lord of the Rings. I haven't seen it.
It's a new series. Yeah, season 2's out.
Okay.
They're on like episode 5 or 6 or something like that.
They have pizza or something?
What?
You're going to watch that?
Watch it while eating pizza.
Yeah.
That's a good night. That's a good send off.
Sounds like a good day.
Yeah. And then, just wake up then early in the morning and send off and start driving. So
what time are you leaving?
I don't know. I might try to leave at like 7.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how I'm going to do it because I want to try to time it maybe where I might get some day hiking in, but I might be doing some night hiking. Yeah. I kind of want to get to my spot and then just hike through the night.
What's opening day for you? Saturday.
I kind of want to just get there, you know, kind of like, hey, this is my little camp area, make sure my camper is no one nearby, and then try to put eyes on that buck right away. And then also, like you said, to sleep.
A big bodied buck.
Yeah. I want to get in the high country and start acclimating myself.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm also doing the last couple of days, is I'm pounding water.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like saturate my body with a bunch of extra water. Driving, I'm trying to drink a bunch of water. Sure, I've already had like 3 cups of coffee already this morning, and I need to stop doing that and just drink more water again. But like trying to supplement, stay ready.
It's more so after. I mean, obviously if you set yourself up beforehand to go in as clean as possible, it's going to be easier. Mm-hmm. But like that's not everybody has the benefit of taking an entire extra day off of work and all this to go in there. But if you can, because I mean, you want to be as fresh as possible while the clock's ticking. That's why I like going in a day and a half early, so you can sleep in the next morning, take your time, breakfast. Get refueled.
And that's why I like hiking in the dark sucks. But it's like, it's just,
but hiking, it allows you,
but it's just hiking in the dark.
And you already know that area too.
Yeah. And I know how to navigate. I know these ridge lines I can go. I know what's safe and what's not safe.
But it allows you to be ready on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I can wake up, obviously just hike through the night or whatever. If I get a few hours of sleep, whatever I need to do, but put eyes on that buck right away, put eyes on him, wait till he goes to bed. And then I go to bed.
Yeah. And then you can recover.
I can recover that whole day, put eyes on him again in the evening. Hopefully, you know, game on opening day. So
yeah,
hiking in, like just crushing yourself for 8, 10, 12 hours to get into the backcountry, to go to bed and then wake up at 3 a.m. to start hunting. Feels like shit.
Especially when you're driving all day too. Yes. You're already tired from work. You probably stay up super late the night before.
I want to enjoy the backcountry that day. Enjoy, wake up late, have a cup of coffee, eat a huge breakfast, hang out, bullshit. Like that's, and then you can recover and then get into hunting.
And even what we always said before too, like, if you can't take off extra days from work or whatever, switch your schedule around and come back a day earlier on the hunt side and get a full day of scouting. That way you can be ready and rested.
Correct.
Like just swap your days and go back a day.
Yep.
And you can't hunt that first day, but you can scout or just get into the country and that way.
Dude, scouting's super important though, because if you can wake up on them, no waste of time. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a big deal.
And for a lot of people, maybe you did make one trip out west to scout, or maybe you drove a couple states over to go scout. And the last time you scouted might've been early August or late August. And like, you got to kind of relocate.
Change. Yeah. Things change.
Yeah. I will say one, like similar to your, you know, freezing your meals. Mm-hmm. Lorenzo dropped a good one on me when we went antelope hunting, but like getting clean food the day prior to take on the road trip, so you're not eating like gas station garbage. Because you're going to feel bad and you're going to like, why'd I eat that? Where you want to be prime, you know?
I learned that one a while ago.
Yeah.
Because you're eating gas station food and sitting in a truck for 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's like you can do a lot of damage if you're, you know, sucking down Cokes and gas station food and all that.
Especially too, if you're not used to that. 100%. If you don't eat that stuff on a daily basis and then you're road tripping and that's what
12 hours sitting there
right
doing
before
no
you're gonna
activity,
go hiking
right before you want to be like absolutely peaked. So my go-to, which I have young Omar, my assistant, doing for me now, is Jimmy John's catering. You just set it in a cooler, Jimmy John's catering. You know it's lasts, it's easy to eat while you're driving, and you can always just pull the meat out from the bread, and it's clean-ish food that'll last. It's not like you're taking, you know, a salad or something that's gonna wilt and taste like shit.
Yeah, it's better than a 7-Eleven taquito.
It's better than anything else. So like, you know, a lot of electrolytes and water, and then that Jimmy John's catering box, which those little 1/3 sandwiches, this is my go-to, the little 1/3 Jimmy John's catering sandwiches. You can just snack on those as you're going. If you don't want to eat the bread. Right? Yeah, number 18. If you don't want to eat the bread, just pull the meat. You know, get no condiments. So Jimmy John's no condiments. That's the go-to. Because then the bread doesn't get to shit and the meat doesn't get all weird. And then you literally can snack on it the entire way.
Yeah.
You feel good when you get there.
Uh-huh. Good tip there.
Electrolytes and Jimmy John's.
You know what does sound good? Just a freaking giant steak.
Well, yeah. I mean, that would be great. But how are we gonna?
We could pre-make it.
Oh, Omar's just like reaching through the back window, like cooking in the bed and drawing steaks as you're driving.
Actually, we could do that.
Yeah.
Plug a little George Foreman into the outlet in the truck and cooking the.
Yeah,
I've always did like want to take like a portable. I mean, just add so much crap to do, but yeah. On top of the other crap you got to do, so probably would never
good,
do it.
The good shitty food to me, like the good shitty gas station food, that's the celebration on the way home.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't ever do it, but like...
Donuts.
Dude, if you are successful, you're coming out of the backcountry, you're about ready to drive 12 hours home and you don't care how you feel, those Hostess powder donuts, yeah, throw them in.
Yeah. Snickers, you probably already lost bar, a bunch of weight,
for
too.
For sure. Throw them in.
Remember last time we had the donuts?
Yes. Yeah. And the cookies.
The apple fritter, the cookies.
Dude, it's the celebration of like, I don't care how I'm going to feel tomorrow. So yeah, let's celebrate. Get all my fix in then. Skittles, yeah. Snickers, all kinds of shit. It's great. I feel absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. After, you know, when you're in a good mood coming home.
Earned, not successful. Given.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How much weight do you think you're going to lose?
I'll probably down to like 174, I bet.
Yeah.
Maybe 173.
I think as physical as our hunt is, there's a chance I come home sub 210. That'd be my guess. I'll probably come in right around like 210 somewhere.
I never weighed myself.
Really?
Like, I always, prior to going.
It's always just that's like a fun... I don't know. It's like a fun stat to me.
Yeah.
It's like I'll weigh myself tomorrow morning before I get in the truck, and then yeah. I'll weigh myself when we come out of the mountains.
I always like looking at my Garmin watch. It's like telling me I'm dying.
Yeah, recovery is going to be delayed.
You need to recover for 48 yeah. hours. Like, nope, I got to go. Yeah.
Don't have that time.
Yeah, it's always fun. You guys got the Whoops. Are you still wearing your Whoop, or you take it off?
No, I take it off this time of year. Really? It's too hard to keep charged.
Yeah.
That's the downside. I keep waiting for that 5.0 with better battery, hopefully.
Yeah, dude, the 3-4 day battery? Like, come on.
Yeah, it sucks.
I saw what is that? Enduro 3 now.
I know. I saw it in the shop. I'm like, dude, I just got mine. Like,
are you wearing your Whoop back there?
I will, yeah. I'll bring the little...
You'll keep it charged?
Okay, I'll bring the little brick thing.
It stresses me out. Like, I get so addicted to it.
Yeah.
I can't stand it going dead. So I always... Like mentally for me, I always pull it like right around the first hunt of the year. I'll just take it off. So yeah. I just stop thinking about it.
Yeah, that's good.
So
yeah.
I just don't stress about keeping it charged and the data and this and that. It's like, that's for the off season.
Yeah.
In my mind.
It's true.
I literally get way too addicted to it. I get like in the details.
Yeah. I just like, the hunting data I get, like how strained I am. Like when I came back from the scouting trip, like. Yeah. I was redlining the whole time, like 20.2 to 20.6.
Yeah, I can guarantee you I'm 17 to 20, no yeah. matter what.
The like, strain scale is like crazy on hunts.
I've worn it enough on hunts, like on day hunts and stuff. Like when I go to the ranch and hunt spikes up there, I was wearing it. I'm between 17 and 20. I already know.
And the interesting thing too, what I realized, like I always think I sleep really well in the backcountry. I'm like, yeah, I can close my eyes and just sleep anywhere.
I recover, but the recovery is
horrible all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what that is, though, it's not necessarily you're sleeping bad. It's just the amount of time that you would need to sleep for the activity you just did.
But I also know, so I do have a lot of awake time.
Oh, you do?
Like I'm randomly, I guess, waking up when I'm sleeping at night. It's like higher than a normal average. Yeah. So like, I don't know if that's elevation, if that's just tossing and turning because you're and on a
comfort.
Pad. Comfort thing, yeah.
What piece of gear are you guys most excited to like try out or use?
The new jacket of ours.
The prototype one?
Yeah, well, we were trying it on yesterday.
Yeah.
And getting the fit dialed in. Now, granted, the fit's not completely dialed in. Like, we're still working on that. But I had it on yesterday, and I'm like, dude, this could be like a game-changing mid-layer piece for me.
Warm. Yeah. I don't want to take it off because the office is always 55 degrees.
It's the way it should be. But that's what I'm excited for, that piece. Like, I have a feeling I'm going to be in that a lot.
Yeah, good testing.
Yeah.
Trying to think. I don't know.
You don't know?
I mean, a lot of stuff I've tested, used a little bit, like, yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm most excited for just a bull, 55 yards, 60 yards, has broad no time. Idea I'm there, broadside. That's, I'd like,
I just. Mystical flight of the arrow.
Keep having this picture in my mind of just, has no clue I'm there. That's always the best. Killing an animal with your bow. When they have no clue you're there, it's the best feeling ever. Yeah. When they're just with their heads down feeding and you're at full draw, nothing knows you're there.
Yeah.
Like straight ninja mode.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, of course, you know, 99% of the time the shot is them looking at you and it's a little bit of a high stress. But every once in a while, every once in a while, you get that, just that, the one where it's like your bull last year.
No clue
we were there.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find a cow.
Yeah. Like, I'm just, I have this picture in my mind. 50 to 60 yards, So not in too tight, can draw comfortably, not worried about making noise, can maybe even move a little bit to open up a shooting angle,
yeah,
shooting lane, and just head down feeding, no clue. Maybe even looking away.
That'd be magical.
Looking at cows, looking away from me, just
draw. Looking away. Like that one movie. What's that one movie where he tells him to look out in the distance before he...
I have no idea.
We all like listen to it like in... Of Mice and Men, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lenny, yeah.
That's a classic.
That is a classic. You just did a terrible job of explaining.
Well, I knew I had a good resource around.
Okay. Yeah, picked it up right away.
I looked right at
Evan. What are you visualizing in your head? Visualization right now is that.
When you were talking about visualization, I was going to mention I've been doing a lot of that lately. Like visualization, how I'm stalking, how I'm approaching it from based on all the stuff where the bucks are. Or I'm going to creep up, or I'm going to look. Hopefully that buck's going to be right there. I'm going to reference something. Sneaking in, setting up for a long time.
What is your visualization on shot, though? Like how far? What's the setup?
Right now, I actually honestly think I can get to easily the spot I want to get to 150. Just based on the terrain.
Bedded. Standing.
He's going to be bedded. I'm going to get to 150. I'm going to set everything down. I'm going to get my gun out. Hopefully I can lay prone. And I'm just going to, I've already thought of laying there. Looking through it, lifting up my peep, resting my head, waiting for him to stand. All of a sudden he stands and I just
press one off
right there and smoke goes and I know he's dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I visualize that right now so many times. Just when I was at the range this morning, I was even visualizing like this is going to be my stalk right now. This is going to be it. And deer gets up and then he comes right back down.
Yeah. That's what I've been visualizing, that 50 to 60 feeding out. No clue I'm there.
I've even gone so far as like I visualized the stock, which I've said before, like I'm gonna have to go into hell and then climb out of hell to get to a spot where I can shoot this.
That's already what's visualized cool, that you already being there and having an animal.
Yeah, and
I like, can't visualize that.
Seeing going down this mountain, it's like that's gonna be pretty freaking scary.
Yeah.
But once I get down to the bottom, now I'm gonna be like, ooh, that was great. I survived the scary stuff. Now look what I have to climb up again.
But you know the prize is just
once I get to that little
right there.
That tiny little ribbon cliff right there. I'm in the zone and then it's just creeping and going really slowly and hoping everything works out and hoping they're there when I set up and not like I'm just sitting there for 5 hours and they're not there. Like everything, I'm just like, it's gonna work. He's gonna be there.
Yeah.
Like thinking positively, like big and positive thoughts, but like just visual, like redoing my head. So that when I get there, it's like, I've done this before.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing. Have you been visualizing at all?
No, I normally start dreaming. Like elk, like it just start like when I was on my mule deer hunt and prior to it, I started like having mule deer dreams.
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of know like I'm mentally
taking over.
Yeah. So I've been having like just like elk dreams of like the environment that we're going to be in. Like
no visualization though, huh?
I mean, like I think about it, like, but I don't like visualize it, but like I do like all that visualization and like stalking in my dreams.
Yeah.
And I just have dreams of like bulls and like it's vivid. It's like, you know, a raghorn like bull that I'm like, no, like I'll pass on him. Yeah. And there's like other bulls too. It's super weird. Like I was having that on my mule deer hunt.
That doesn't happen to me. I'm trying to dream, but not like that.
I like to try to manifest things.
Me too.
Yeah. Like think about it so much, but like tomorrow's going to happen. Like it's going to work out. I'm going to find the deer. I'm going to stalk it. I'm going to kill it tomorrow. Like to start thinking.
Speaking it into existence. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm at. Like I want that shot where he has no clue I'm there. And I'm far enough away that it's not stressful. I'm calm. Yep. The animal's calm. I can settle and just really like be in the moment of the shot. And it's not one of those ones where you just rip the bow back, settle and release. And then you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like that's 99% of the time bow hunting.
Yeah.
Cause you know, that's why you practice so much. So when it does come to that, you get your anchor point, you release properly everything, even though you do black out. But I'm visualizing that just settle, calm, paying attention to everything and then releasing the arrow.
Yeah. You know, I get also very focused on too, like during these type of hunts, like, you know, like my job and like the like films that we do too, like I start visualizing like how it's gonna like might be just jumping way too ahead of myself, but like how it's gonna look on camera and like all it's like getting
that's
like these cool creative
that's
shots
too far ahead of yourself,
but that's how like I'm
that's
like
the producer
thinking
in you.
Yeah. Producer camera guy in him.
And like I'm excited because the cameraman's, you know, rocking FX6, so for anyone that knows what that is, like great freaking video body,
it's gonna be sick video.
Yeah, so I'm like thinking about that. I'm like, oh, hopefully you get like the shot in slow-mo. And
I always get very appreciative going into a filmed hunt.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, man, it's just another filmed hunt. I'm like, thank you. I get another one that I get to relive forever.
Yep.
I get like really appreciative knowing that I'm going on a film hunt.
Yeah. They're so cool. Like my family has no idea what I even do.
Yeah.
Most of my family, besides like, you know, my mom and sister know pretty much what I do. But like my other family, I can just send them a video link. It's like, obviously it's not what I do day to day, but it's like,
you know, this is what I work I for though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's super cool. Yeah. I get super appreciative too and start thinking about the shots and the country and, you know, camera bodies and lenses and stuff like that too.
It's going to be good. Can't believe it's here.
I know. Should probably wrap this one up because I know we got a lot of other
things to do.
I wanted to touch on my piece of gear that I'm excited for.
What?
Which I'm not normally like a big merino guy, but I'm running the bottoms, that the new ones that we have.
Yeah.
And then the tops that hopefully will be live soon.
Gold Basin Merino. Yeah.
Basin
Merino. You got the hooded one?
I got the hooded one.
You know we're sold out of that already?
Yeah.
I tried to pick one up the other day and I wasn't able to, supposedly.
So like, we should get a reshipment here to stock our inventory, I think, on Monday. Don't quote me on that one.
I know he put a bunch of stuff on a plane because we sold out of it so fast.
Yeah.
And a plane is 2 weeks and a boat is like 2 months. So I know we sold out all that shit so fast that he put a bunch of it on a plane. So I think it is here in like a week or two.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Using it in New Mexico, I was like, I'm not normally like a merino guy. Yeah. Plus, I also think they make you like look funny too sometimes, but for the comfort, I'm like,
it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
All right.
Well, let's go get some last minute work done.
Good luck to everyone. We need to get your inReach and you need to get ours as well.
Yeah, it'd be cool to keep in touch.
Yeah.
I think I got Brady's.
You have Brady's?
From bear hunting, yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. Best of luck, boys. I can't wait to hear it.
Best of luck.
Best of luck, Brady.
And everyone else out there, best of luck as well.
Yep.